Take your Bibles now and turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 18 down through verse 25. Listen to God's word, if you will. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Our subject today is particular redemption. This subject is no doubt a new one to the vast majority of you, because particular redemption is a term that is not known nor understood by the vast majority of our religious people of this present age. But you see, the tragedy of today in our religious circles is that most people never get away from the rudimentary element of salvation. Most cannot tell you how the Lord saved them or what conviction is all about, because to the vast majority, salvation is a going forward, a signing of a decision card, or the reading of a verse of Scripture, and the uttering of a prayer, and then they are told that they are saved. While all these may be good in their place, the redemption of a soul is far more than what has been previously said. If you are a truly converted person at this hour, you will agree with me when I say that redemption is the greatest experience a person can ever have in this life. It surpasses everything, past, present, and future, which will take place in this life, with the exception of going home to be with the Lord. Because of the ignorance surrounding redemption, today we shall speak on the subject particular redemption. Our subject will have three aspects to it. First, what is meant by the term redemption. Secondly, what is meant by the term particular redemption. And then thirdly, how does redemption become particular? So you get quiet there around your radios, if you will, and take your Bibles now, and you follow closely as we set forth these great truths. Our first proposition is, what is meant by redemption? Take your Bibles now and turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 3, verse 23 down through verse 26, where we read, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now let's look at this for just a few moments or two. Here we see the statement that everyone who believes in Christ Jesus is the recipient of redemption or has been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me stop right there. Have you been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ? Or you say, Pastor, I don't know. Well then let me ask you another question. Have you ever been in bondage? Do you know what it means to be in bondage to your sin and to the world and to Satan? If you don't know what I'm talking about, then put it down. You don't know what the word redeem means either, because you have not been redeemed. You see, the word redemption comes from the Greek word agorazo, which means to deliver by the paying of a price. The idea is to purchase in the market. The underlying idea behind this, the market, is the slave market of sin. This means that the ones who were redeemed by the Lord were slaves of sin, and were helpless to deliver themselves by their own efforts. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, we see this truth set forth, where it says, For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. in the redemption of a soul, the Lord God of heaven makes the individual to see what a sinner he, the individual, is, and how helpless and depraved the individual, stands before God. This comes as the law of God is written upon the heart, and the individual is condemned to die because of the transgression of the law. This also sets forth that the individual is a slave, and he can't do one thing to free himself. He can exercise his will all he wants to, but my friend, it doesn't do one bit of good. He's got to be redeemed by blood and power. Now let me stop right here, if I may, and ask you this question. Do you know what I'm talking about? Has this ever happened to you individually? If not, how do you know that you have been redeemed? You see, have you ever been condemned before God? If you don't know what we're talking about, then how do you know that you have been redeemed? The second aspect of redemption is the paying of the price. The sinner is a slave to sin and stands in the slave market helpless to deliver himself. The price on the sinner is too high for anyone to pay but the Lord Jesus Christ. Now hold your seat. It doesn't mean that God has a vote and man has a vote and the devil has a vote. It doesn't mean that whatever. It means that the sinner is a slave standing in the slave market helpless to deliver himself, and the price on the sinner is too high for anyone to pay but the Lord Jesus Christ. The law cannot buy the sinner. It can only condemn him. The sinner cannot will his way out of his condemnation. He stands helpless and hopeless and hapless, condemned to die unless the ransom price is paid. It is here the Lord Jesus Christ, out of love to our soul, steps in and pays the price. The price is the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot or blemish, and the result is that we are redeemed, not by silver or gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Is this real to your heart? Oh, my friend, I hope and pray that it is. The third aspect of redemption is the guarantee that never again will the redeemed individual stand under condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, is the declaration of God, because we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This is what redemption is all about. However, the redemption of the Lord is a particular redemption. The word particular means specific, or to pertain to a certain class, a certain person, hence personal and not general. This brings us to the reality that not everyone is saved or will be saved. God's salvation is a particular redemption, and the Lord bestows it upon certain or particular individuals. Who these are, the Scripture tells us in Acts chapter 13 and verse 48, where we read, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord," listen now, "and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." You see, my friend, the salvation of the Lord is not a blank check whereby you merely place your name, as is taught today. Neither is it the signing of a decision card on your part, as many are doing at this present hour. Salvation is so much more than that, because my Lord doesn't save everyone, and no one can be saved unless the Lord does a work in their heart. In John chapter 6 in verse 44 and 5, we read, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Particular redemption also tells us that God is the bestower of it, and He has mercy on whom He will have mercy, and whom He will He hardeneth. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Now some of you are going to jump up and down and say, "Well, I believe in whosoever will may come." so do I, my friend. But the only ones that are going to come are those that God the Father is going to draw, because no man can come to the Father, and no man can come to Christ except my Father which has sent me draw him. This brings us to the third aspect of our lesson, which is, when does the redemption of the Lord become particular to the individual? This takes place when the Lord Jesus Christ reveals himself to the heart of that sinner as the sinner's absolute, personal, all-sufficient Lord and Savior. Now let me ask you a question. Is this true with you? Is the Lord Jesus Christ today your absolute, personal, all-sufficient Lord and Savior? And has he been revealed to you by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God? Or if you don't know what I'm talking about, listen for these next few moments, because your eternity may be at stake. In order for this to take place, the Holy Spirit first does the work in the heart of the individual. It is God the Holy Spirit who singles out the individual from the mass of humanity and separates that person unto himself. This is called the sanctification of the Spirit. In the sanctification of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God broods upon that individual sinner. He opens the mind and heart of that person and shines in that person's soul with the Word of God. Man today is blinded by the god of this world, the devil. Even now, Satan is trying to blind some of you. And man today is blinded by Satan, and therefore the gospel of Christ is hidden to man at this hour, because if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Even now, this is true, because some of you listening to me do not understand what I'm speaking of. Holy Spirit conviction today is unknown, it is unpreached, it is unexperienced, and it is unwanted by the average individual, including those who are religious. Yet for the person to be saved, there has to be the work of the Holy Spirit wrought in that individual heart. In this work come three things, or I should say there are three things which dawn upon the heart of the person involved. These three things are sin, righteousness, and judgment. In John chapter 16 and verses 8 through 11 we read, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." In the reproving of the sinner is convinced of his unbelief. He has never believed in Christ. And listen now, he cannot believe in Christ, and he is made to see that he cannot and he will not believe in Christ unless the Lord God grant him the faith to believe. In the convicting of righteousness, the sinner is made to see that his righteousness is nothing but filthy rags, and it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. The sinner is made to see that only the righteousness of Christ will suffice, and when he's convicted of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment to come, he knows that he is a hell-deserving sinner before the Lord, and there is a cry placed in his heart for the Lord to make him righteous. This cry results in the sinner hungering and thirsting after the Lord. Last of all, we have the conviction of judgment. Before my Lord saves you, my friend, if he ever does, my Lord's going to make you stand before him as a ruined, helpless, hell-deserving sinner, pleading for the Lord to have mercy upon you. How long you will be in that category, only the Lord knows. How long you will cry unto the Lord God of heaven before he saves you is up to the Lord God of heaven. But rest assured of this, that cry will continue to increase in its crescendo, and sooner or later, God will answer that cry, and my friend, you'll know when the Lord saves you. When the Lord saves you, and he will, if you cry unto him, you will know how particular and personal his redemption is. You will know by experience that Christ could save you or damn you, and you will absolutely know when, where, and how you were delivered by Christ. Your salvation will be personal to you, and you'll never get over how the Lord saved you. This is what is meant by particular redemption. Now, in these closing moments, my radio friend, you face reality. You are either saved or damned at this moment before the Lord. If you are saved, you know how the Lord delivered you, and your cry is still, "Thank you, Lord, for saving a wretch like me, and oh, how merciful thou art to me." Now, if you're not sure of your salvation, let me urge you to do this, if I may, in this closing moment. You begin right there and ask the Lord to do a work in your heart. Remember, the salvation of God is a particular redemption. It's not bestowed upon everyone without a work of God. People today sign a decision card and everything like that, and they think that when they sign their name on the dotted line, they have been converted. No, my friend, salvation is the greatest thing that can ever happen to an individual if and when it does. Has it ever taken place in your life? Oh, my hope and prayer is that it is, that it has. Listen, if you desire the Lord, you begin even now to ask the Lord to open your heart and to do that work on Him and in your heart. Do that work of Him in your heart, and you begin to seek the Lord and beg Him to have mercy upon you. The greatest favor you can ever have bestowed upon you is when my Lord favors you with His salvation. And you know, the door of salvation is still open. And you know, whosoever will may come. If God's stirring you, whatever, my friend, I urge you right there, sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners, and you're the sinner, and don't stop suing until the answer comes. My hope is that something has been said that God will take and use for His glory and your redemption. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here saying goodbye, and oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.